This is the national public broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad.
We have those people all the time in society, women and men, that love to do good. And if they see wrong, they want to tell you, no, don't do that. Don't be like that. Help that person. Don't treat him like that. And they would stop what they're doing. They'd come from what they're doing. Maybe they were going to an important meeting or something. They will actually stop, just like the Good Samaritan. In fact, that speaks more in to support what I'm saying than anything I can say to you. The Good Samaritan. Jesus pointed to a man that was already doing what they should do. He said the rabbis, meaning the religious leaders, and all had walked down that same road, and there was a man suffering, lying in the road suffering. And they just walked around him. Some walked on the other side of the street, on the other side of the road, so they wouldn't be bothered. They wouldn't have their conscience bothered by him. And some, they didn't have a conscience at all. They would walk up, stay on the same side of the road and walk right by him, do nothing for him, and he's suffering in the road. And Jesus Christ said, along came the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan said, came and had compassion on him. Samaritans, it's from Sumer, the place called Sumer. Sumer. So it's a name, he was named after a place, a city like, or area. He was named after that. He was called the Samaritan. Like you would say, along came the Chicagoan. Yeah, that's how Jesus Christ was speaking, along came the Chicagoan. So he said, along came Samaritan. That means a people, person that came from another town. Along came the Good Samaritan. He saw him and had compassion on him. And he took him and gave him his help. And he had to keep going because he had a destiny. He had a job too. He had to keep going. So he went and found somebody and asked them, charged them with. He went to like a rescue place. And he went there and he said, take care of this man. And when I return, I will pay you. So he said he would pay him. Now this is really deep. This is really deep. So what is this saying? First, it's saying that that world that Jesus Christ came into, it was unconscious, filled with people that had lost their moral sensitivities. Their original, pure, and innocent moral sensitivities were lost. And they were just seeing suffering and just passing by with no attention at all. And here comes this man from Samaritan, a different area. He comes through their area, and he has compassion on the suffering person in the road. That's what it's saying on the surface. But what does it also say? Because it says he promised that he was coming back. It's saying that that same nature, that same makeup, moral makeup, is in Jesus Christ. But he's using another figure to point to something that's in himself. He's teaching and using another figure. But he's the one teaching. He's the one that's trying to change things, but he points to another figure. But he's, if you can go with me a little more, a little deeper, but he's also saying something that will miss most of the educated in religion. He's saying your goodness is not originally your goodness. Your goodness is divine goodness. It is put in you from God. So he can guarantee that you're going to get help because it's not him alone that's doing this. He's an instrument. The Good Samaritan is the instrument of God. Like in Islamic teaching sciences, the human being, the whole human family with all our abilities and all of our tools of whatever, says we are nothing but like one hand of God. So God has one hand doing things, and the whole human race is nothing like this one hand. Then he has another hand that's taking care of the non-human world creation. Stars and planets and earth and all the material, inanimate and animate living things. He's taking care of all that with one hand. And he's taking care of human life and human affairs with the other hand. You're acting just as his hand. Just as his hand. All of us together represent nothing but his one hand. Isn't that something? Yeah, that's something. Yes. So it's a description given in metaphor. metaphor, using pictures to teach us, you know, because God has no hand like this. You put all of human beings together, they don't look like that hand. They look like millions of human beings. But that's God's hand, according to that teaching, which is to tell us that just like we use one hand, God used the whole human family, all human beings. He's using all human beings just like we use one hand. And that would be our right hand. Because human beings are building things and doing delicate work and healing and operating on the performing surgery and stuff. So that must be his right hand, huh? But look what God says in another place in the scripture. He says to Satan, why you don't accept my special human that I made with my two hands? In one place he says all the human world is just like his one hand. But in another place he said when he was making his certain special human being, he used both his hands. Both the inanimate, the natural world, and the human being and human life. He used both. Human life, conscious human life, and inanimate world, all the natural world, and he brought them together and reconciled their purpose in the mind of his special creature so that he used his creation as it should be used to benefit all human beings. Wonderful. Yes, so Jesus Christ is much more than you think he is. Much more than you think he is. He's a sign, a mystery, and a sign of wondrous things. This idea of the person embodying science, the sciences, the knowledge, and being the guide for others, or the doorway for others, it goes back to ancient Egypt. In a myth or story, the great Osiris, O-S-I-R-U-S, I think it's spelled, the great Osiris, was credited with being Lord over all the people. He was deceived by his daughter. His daughter deceived him and caused his death. And his son, who was a bad son, got possession of his body, the dead body. And he took the dead body and dismembered it in many pieces. And he put it, hid it under trees and in different places. He scattered it all over the known world and hid portions of his body everywhere. Now, to make this interpretation very short for you, God is one. His creation is one. Everything, as the scientist tells us, everything is related. And everything comes under one law, though for each thing is a separate law, sometimes many laws for others. But there's a one law over all things, universal law. The universal law affects everything that's in it. So all things are tied together by the rule of law that God made for those things when he created them. For their it's in them, it's in their nature to do that. So, the world won't take us back to the wholeness of truth. It won't take us back to the wholeness of education, to the wholeness of knowledge. They give us the education of government, of civic education, of city, or the education of government. They give us the education of culture. They give us the education of medicine. They give us all these different branches of education, thousands of different fields or branches of et cetera, areas of knowledge. And they give them to us, and they invite you to come and study them as though your area is not connected to other areas. They make little effort to tell you that they all are connected. They will make no plain effort to tell the student that, look, this is but a piece of the whole knowledge that exists in the total works of God. That this is just a little piece of it. We're just studying a little piece of it now. But all of it, you have to understand, exists in everything that you see in the skies and the earth and yourself and everywhere. The wholeness of matter, the wholeness of truth, the wholeness of science. They don't make an effort to do that. Because if they did that, it will expand your mind. That expands your mind. And that makes you less selfish. That makes you less arrogant. When you achieve your degree in this little place here, you understood that you achieved a degree in a little speck. That there was a little speck of the world that you got your PhD in. Like one grain of dust. Huh? You will understand that. They don't want humble people. They want proud people. Who am I talking about? The leaders that have strayed away from the form, moral form of life that Allah created all of us for. Come to the third stage now, third level. Muhammad the Prophet, he said, there come a time when his followers will see, not only his followers, the world, Christians too, will see Christ Jesus and Muhammad together. That means not in opposition to one another, not fighting each other, not threatening each other, as Christians in the history of Islam and Christianity. Some of them, rulers, believed that Islam was a threat to Christianity, and they went out to destroy all the power and strength of Muslims, wherever they found them existing in a built-up way or established way. They wanted to break their power, break them up, put them down so they would be helpless under Christian power. That went along for centuries. And then when the Muslims were ruling, some of them too, they strayed, and they didn't care. It was just like the rabbis and others that walked by the man helpless in the road and just left him there, did nothing for him. They lost their moral responsibility or their moral mission in the world. They lost it. And for centuries in their society, nothing but neglect. Neglect of human life. Neglect of the calling that God wants us to respond to. Total neglect of it. So they all did that, okay? Now here comes Muhammad, the prophet, and he represents the third. Adam, one, step one. Christ Jesus, step two. Where are we going with this step one, step two? We're going to the ideal society that God wants on the planet Earth. We're going to the destiny for human life in its most excellent picture. Destiny for human life in its most excellent picture. That's where we're going. Your nature, if you're a conscious human being, responding to the best motivations or the best sensitivities in your life, you want nothing short of that. You accept that you can't get what's not reachable for you. You accept that, but you hope that somebody in the world will continue and make this world better and better until it gets to be that beautiful world that you picture in your heart and mind, or in your soul. Sometimes you can't even see it with your eyes, but it touches you. If you feel it in your soul, then no, it's not right yet. You want to do better than this. It has to be better than this. So that's the destiny. Muhammad the prophet comes behind Jesus Christ, after Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a spirit. Jesus Christ was motivated spiritually to do the wonderful things that he did. And God took him spiritually into the paradise and showed him the perfect world that he wants us to have for human beings. God did that for him. God did it also for Muhammad. Muhammad too, motivated spiritually, the third dimension moving in the first level step, Jesus Christ. Same third dimension moving, in Adam, and he lost it. Same third dimension moving in Jesus Christ, and he kept it. He died with his moral life intact. Whenever he died, you don't even have a record of when he died. But whenever he died with his moral life intact. Okay? Then here comes Muhammad the Prophet. One, the third dimension working in the mortal flesh. The second one, Jesus Christ, the third dimension working in his conscience. Working in his conscience. They speak of Christ's conscience. Yeah, so this third dimension is working in his conscience. And he's moved he's responding to his excellent moral life. And he's not liking what he's seeing, he's not liking what's happening. So his spirit is against the spirit of the world. And he works and he works and he points to something coming after him. He said, I have to go away. I can't stay with you always. That's the Bible. I have to go away. But nevertheless, the Father will send you another comforter. Comforter! Comforter! Who is it talking to? The people who are not dead morally, who are bothered by a terrible world, and they can't be comfortable in their soul. And Jesus Christ tells them, I have to go. I know it's sad to tell you this, but if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come to you. I have to go away. If I go away, the Father will send you another Comforter. That's what Jesus Christ says in the Gospel. I told you in the beginning, I'm a student of the Bible. Ready to take a test from anybody, including the Pope of Rome or the President of the Baptist Convention. I'm ready to take a test from any of them. Okay? Yeah. Or anybody else? Yes. The Bible says if you got a light, don't hide it. Don't put it under a bushel. If it's the right light, you want people to know it because you want them to know that God has blessed you and them if they accept it with the light. So why hide it? You ain't proud. You're humble. But you're grateful. You want to acknowledge who gave you this. You want to share it with somebody else. Not keep it to yourself. That's a wicked person. Very small brain person. No heart at all. Yes. Okay. So, Muhammad the Prophet comes. Now, he is the third step. But he has the same third dimension working in him. What is the third dimension? Spiritual. Spiritual dimension. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. One, two, three. Sprinkle water, one. Sprinkle water, two. Sprinkle water, three. Huh? Muhammad the Prophet taught us that if you got three people, you got a congregation. The third one will be the leader. So you conduct your prayers. You can even have Jummah prayer on our most sacred day, Friday prayer, with just three people. Huh? And the third one stands in the front like a triangle. Two in the back, and the one in the acute angle, he's in the front leading us in prayer, and the two of us follow him. Huh?
Yes!
That tells us that our leader is a spiritual leader. He's the leader that God has blessed with the Spirit to follow his will and his way. Yes. Praise be to Allah. So Muhammad now, he's that one. He's the spiritual leader, but he's also the third dimension, the third step, and the third step is the step into the community life that God wants, that God has created Adam for, and guided him for that, and also produced Jesus Christ. That's what Islam says too. This is not just Christianity. And he's born not of a man, but God produced Jesus Christ as a word from himself and a spirit from himself. This is Islam. Not that I'm totally against a more prepared people conquering people that's less prepared to make the life that you want. But they should tried to bring those people into their lives. They didn't come in here and say, we have this knowledge and we have this science and we have new weapons. Can we introduce these things to you and can we share this big vast world? We have knowledge of how to cultivate your wilderness and do that. Did they make any attempt to win those people as citizens in support of this new vision? Citizens and supporters of the new vision? No, they didn't say we have a new vision. We would like to introduce it to you. Would you welcome this here? If you would, this part of the world can become a brave, productive area. No, they didn't do that. They treated them as savages that were to be moved out of their land, moved out of the way of the new builders, and even locked up on reservation or whatever. So they did it wrong. And believe me, most white people in high places and also down on the low level with the poorest of us, all of them are touched by that, and they don't like what happened to the native Indians. American people don't like that. It only takes a few bad people to impose something on all the good people. There was just a few in the strong positions. They impose it upon the good people, and they give their justification for it. You forget about what happened to the American Indians. Yeah. The Mosquera is getting ready to make a contribution. They asked us for a contribution. We're going to give them a contribution to help more Native Americans get a college education. Yes, because knowledge frees everybody. I don't realize that Muhammad said you want to be equal to the white man, get equal knowledge. Let me tell you, you learn this religion like you're supposed to learn, you'll be equal to everybody and anybody. Yes, learn it the way you're supposed to learn it, you'll be equal with everybody, anybody and everybody. Well, nobody be your superior, all of them will be on the level with you. God levels the playing field. God does that. Allahu Akbar. Yeah, so in my conclusion, here comes Muhammad now, and Muhammad, the prophet, he dislikes the world, just as Jesus Christ did. He disliked the world as it was existing before him. And he goes away from his people with a great burden on his heart. He goes up in the mountain to get away from everybody. He finds a little hole up in the mountain, a little cave. He goes into that little hole. And he doesn't know God. He doesn't know, call on God by the name Jehovah or call on God by the name of Allah. He knew none of that. He was not a member of any religious society. So he just calling on whatever is in control, whatever has made this world and caused things to be. Can you please help me find a way for my people who are divided on tribal lines, who are ignorant and treat their own people bad? That's the Negro right now. Oh, he called us Negroes. I just want you to remember yourself. That's why I use the word Negro. Call you black, you don't know yourself. You can't remember yourself. Call you a Negro, you remember yourself. Yeah, that's us right now. We just have given ourselves to foolishness, fun, at any cost. Have fun, no matter what it costs you. Cost you your marriage, cost you your family, cost you your children. Just have fun. Cost you your business, just have fun. The average black African-American that fails in business is because he can't manage his pleasures. Fun kills it. Kills his future. Now, let's come home to this town, to Chicago, to Markham, to wherever we are, Homewood, wherever we are. Let's come home with it now. In my conclusion, dear people, I hope you've understood what I've been telling you. God put us on this world to stay morally alive. Morality or moral life is not an accident. It's a choice. It's a choice. You have to choose moral life. That's why it's in scripture, say, I put before you two ways. The way of life and the way of death. Choose you life. Now, I hate to do this, but I think I should. Do you know what some of these great thinkers were looking at when they said, I put before you two ways? They were looking at the fanny of a woman. And they were looking at how, but they weren't looking at it with a bad mind. They were looking at it with an excellent mind, not with an immoral, corrupt mind. They were looking at the fanny of a woman, and they saw that out of one place, one door, come new life, babies, sons and daughters. And out of the other one comes stinky waste. And they associated the one that throws out the waste as the system of society that get rid of impurities or that is offensive to the life. And they looked at the other opening as the door of life that gives us new human beings and human and moral excellence. Huh? They're so close together. Out of one comes the system rejects the bad, the waste, and the other one, the system, rejects waste too, but liquid. But the main purpose is bigger than that urine. It's human life coming from the other. For out of one comes human life, out of the other one comes corruption. They have put before you two ways, choose you life. This goes a long ways. I could talk to you 5 hours right now on just those two doors. Those two openings, one giving us our new life, and the other one getting the waste out of the body, getting the waste out of the body. I could talk to you for 5 hours right now and wouldn't get sleepy. God knows that I can do that. But I can't do that. I'm closing right now. But just think about that. Think about that. And choose you life. And know that God has created every one of you, male and female, Khalifa. He says that he put Khulafa, is the plural of Khalif. He put Khulafa on the earth. And all of us have in us, inherent in us, the power, capacity, potential to do things that is the life of the Khalifa. But you will lose it if you don't choose moral excellence. Thank you. Peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.